Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, who's on?
Hi, this is Chris. Welcome, everybody. We're going to wait a few more minutes until, we're waiting for more people, so we're going to hang in there.
Hey, Chris, it's Sophia. How are you?
Hey, Sophia, how are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome anybody else who's on.
Hi,
Hi, and
everybody.
this is
It's
Francie.
Krista Stahl.
Nice to hear from you guys. Hope all is well. Hello? Yes, we're
Hello.
here. Oh, okay.
Hello.
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 Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing well, how are you?
I've been better, but I'm still alive. Sorry, I was just quiet. I didn't. This is the first time I've ever did one of these calls.
Oh, well, welcome, welcome. We're just waiting. Chris and I are on here. Lisa should be jumping on here shortly. We're just waiting for a little bit more people to join in, and then we'll get started.
Good
No,
evening,
that's fine.
Sophia. This is Warnke. I'm going to
Hi,
put you all on mute
Warnke.
because the Fab Five are rolling in and full of energy, but I'm here if you need anything.
Okay, no worries. And yeah, and we'll ask you guys, if you guys don't have us on mute and you guys are in an area where there's a lot of noise in the background, just mute us. Just put us on mute, and then when you want to jump on, ask a question or anything, unmute it, and then that way we can all kind of hear each other.
Okay.
It's so quiet. Does that mean we haven't started yet?
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
We were
Hi.
just waiting for more people to join on, so
Oh,
Chris,
I thought you
do
were
you want to get
meditating.
started?
Yeah, we're all here. How about we give it one more minute and then we can get started?
Okay, sounds
Hello.
good.
Hello.
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 Yeah, I'm here too.
Excellent.
Awesome.
The more the merrier. This is Chris. We're one of the hosts.
Cool. My name is Ken.
Nice to
Ken.
meet you,
All right.
Ken.
Welcome,
My
Ken.
name's Chris too.
I'm from Canada.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Ken, did you call in on the Canada International phone number?
Oh, I don't know. I called it on some number that I have here, 605, so I don't know. But thank God I got
Okay.
through.
we just posted today. We updated it with an international call-in number, so you can call your within your own country phone number that will patch you in to the conference call. So you don't have to call across borders. But I think Canada, you're safe. You might have that in your plan. Your calling
all right.
plan.
Well, I can call America with my plan, so I'm good to go.
Okay. Yeah, you're good. I think we have one or two people from Australia, one from the UK.
Oh, wow.
They've been trying to get in, so we provided international dial-in numbers.
Wow.
All right. Let me go ahead and do our intro. It's 9:35. I'm sure we're going to have people straggling in over the next few minutes. Welcome everybody who's here to the conference call. Those who have been here before, welcome again. Thank you for coming back. Those of you who first time callers, welcome. Great to have you. Going to do some housekeeping things real quick. First of all, SOS is Lisa, Sophia, and myself. We started the conference calls because we realized that within the prayer wall group that we just I think that we thought that people needed more connection, and so the conference call idea was born, and it seems like it's very successful because people are benefiting from it a lot. SOS stands for Standing on Scripture, and we try to do this every Thursday night. I think we've been pretty consistent. Every Thursday, I think, is very different. We've had a few testimonials over the past few weeks. The Lord blesses us and gives us those, all according to His grace and His mercies. So we're grateful for those. One of them we did post today. If you look at the posts that we posted earlier in the afternoon sometime, I provided a website, and we're trying to centralize everything in one place so everyone can go there and they'll have the conference call information, dialing information, international calling information, and also the archive for previous conference calls as we're able to post them. We're not able to do all of them. We're not able to post all of the conference calls because some of them might be testimonials where some people might not feel comfortable with that, and we totally respect that. We totally respect that, so that's a work in progress. For tonight's call, I want to preface it by saying a few things. First of all, if you have any noise in the background, it will be amplified through your speaker, and it will come through with a lot of noise and static. So if you can mute yourself, that would be great. It would save me the trouble of having to mute people and then go back and try to unmute you if you want to say something. But self-monitoring and muting yourself is good. What might be a great practice is to automatically mute yourself, whether there's noise in the background or not. Sometimes it will pick up some feedback from other electronic devices, and we get buzzing sounds. So we try to prevent that. The more people we get on the conference call, the more likely that's going to happen. The other thing is also because we're going to try to post more of these, the conference calls, we would request that if you use names, use your first name only, or don't use your first name at all. If you feel safer or more comfortable without using it, that's fine. Nobody needs to know your name. Again, our goal is to try to post these conference calls on the website. They're not open to the general public. It's membership only, and only people who have membership are the people who come through the RMM prayer wall. So it's not, you know, anyone going to the website without knowing how to kind of get in, it's going to be a little bit challenging for them to do that. So it's not exactly public. But anyway, having said all that, we'll go ahead and start our conference call tonight. We're going to have a fun evening tonight talking about Satan's playbook. And I think you're all going to really enjoy it. And I hope and I pray that we'll all walk away feeling more confident, more faith, more trust in our Heavenly Father that He knows what He's doing. And for the lack of knowledge, we perish. And we're hoping that we could impart to you more knowledge of people who have gone before us and have discovered a lot of this. And we've learned some of this through experience as well. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sophia to open up with prayer. Sophia, you're it.
Hello, guys. Okay, so the prayer that I'm going to be praying today opening is shattering of strongholds on self, on ourselves. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are standing on the truth of your word. You said you would give us the keys to the kingdom, that whatsoever we bind on earth would be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we would loose on earth would be loosed in heaven, according to Matthew 16 and 18. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind our will to the will of God, that we will be constantly aware of your will and purpose for our life. We bind ourselves to the truth of God, that we will not be deceived by the many subtle deceptions of the world and the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind ourselves to the blood of Jesus. We want to constantly be aware of the blood of Jesus Christ, miracle-working power to restore and heal and keep us safe. We bind our mind to the mind of Christ, that we will be aware of how Jesus Christ would have us think and believe. We do not want to react out of our own human thoughts when situations arise suddenly. We want to think and act as Jesus would have us act. We bind our feet to the path of righteousness, that our steps will be steady and true all day long. We bind ourselves to the work of the cross in our lives, so that we will continue to die daily to our own selfish desires and motivations and be more like Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the strong man so that we may spoil his household and take back every bit of joy, peace, blessing, freedom, and every material and spiritual possession that he has stolen from us. We take them back right now. We lose the strong man's influence on every part of our body, soul, and spirit. We lose, crush, smash, and destroy every evil device he may be trying to bring into our sphere of influence during this day. We repent of every wrong desire, attitude, and pattern of thinking we have had. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for holding on to wrong ideas, desires, behaviors, and habits according to 1 John 1:9 and John 14:14. We renounce and reject these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and loose every wrong attitude, pattern of thinking, belief, idea, desire, behavior, and habit we have ever learned. We loose the strongholds around them that would keep them from being completely surrendered to the will of God for our lives. We loose all doubt and confusion from ourselves. We have bound our minds to the mind of Christ, and we loose every wrong thought and evil imagination that will keep us from being in sweet unity with you. We bind and loose these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who has given us the keys to do so. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. Is everybody ready? I think we're going to have some fun with this tonight. I know it's going to seem maybe counterintuitive a little bit, but it is. Satan's playbook. Who's interested in finding out what Satan's thinking and what he's doing? Okay. Let's dive right into this. And Sophia and Lisa, jump in anytime, because I've got a list here. So feel free to interrupt anytime. All right. So Satan's playbook. The reason why we've come up with this is because with all the testimonials that we've heard or read about, we're hearing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And there's a reason for that. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But we're going to have some fun now, and we're going to see how many of you have heard some of these things from your husband or wife during the whole storm in your marriage. Now, here we go. I don't love you anymore. I'm not in love with you anymore. I don't know if I've ever loved you. I made a mistake marrying you. I don't want to be married anymore. I'm never coming back. Why don't you move on with your life, or some variation of that? You deserve someone else better than me. I've moved on. I'm fine. I'm doing well, and I'm finally happy. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a short list. But I think that's enough to give you an idea of what we have all times, all of us at certain times have heard at least one or more than one of these things. Now, Lisa, Sophia, do you have any others you want to add to that list you can think of?
I have, just from personal experience, where my spouse has kind of brought up past mistakes that I made even before marriage, and kind of thrown them in my face as a justification of, to justify his actions of what he was doing. That's one thing that I've really seen in my situation, and I've seen him in other testimonials as well.
Okay. Is anyone else on the conference call who has heard anything other than that that you'd like to throw into the mixture? Feel free. Okay. The reason why we're all hearing these things, and these are all common, is because we have one single enemy. So let me back up a little bit. There are going to be people on this phone, on this conference call who have been standing for their marriage for some time. It could have been, 12 months. It could be a year or two, maybe even longer. Their walk, their standing is more mature, because everyone's stand is going to be a journey, and that journey is God's journey of maturing each one of us in a different way, different time frame, getting us to the point of restoration, because God's goal and objective is restoration at the end of the storm. That's God's goal. So for those of you who have heard all of these and you're mature in your stand, you're familiar with all these. For those of you who are new to your stand, you've just come into the understanding that you're standing for your marriage, you just found the website, you just found the prayer wall, you're new to this phone call, you're new to the stand, you may have not heard all of this, but the reason why we're all hearing the same thing is because we have one enemy, and the enemy is not original. I think Sophia loves to say this all the time. He's very unoriginal. He's not creative. He can only do the same thing over and over and over again. And that's why we call it Saints Playbook, because if you learn the plays that he has, then you learn to recognize it's not your husband, it's not your wife, because we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight princes and principalities, and that's Ephesians 6. That's who we're doing war against. And so if we can identify our enemy, if we can identify the plays that the enemy is using through our spouse, because it's really our spouse that is, it's really the enemy speaking through our spouse in this time, this season of deceit of our spouse. And as they're speaking through our spouses, we're hearing the same things because there's only one enemy behind them. Divorce doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's a reason for it. It's because we have an enemy. Our enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy every good thing that our Father from heaven gave us. A husband or wife is a good thing. A marriage is a good thing. A family is a good thing. And our enemy, one, is against all of those. He's going to do everything he could possibly can to destroy first the marriage, then the family. And then after that, if there's children children in the marriage, in the family, his goal and objective is to destroy the future generations of the kids. And we've heard about generational curses and so on, so on, so on. When God restores the marriage, those generational curses are broken. We really don't need to pray specifically and always about that, because when God steps in, Jesus Christ steps in and it's finished, it's finished. Now, we always have to keep praying, because we're always standing for our spouses, we're always praying for our kids, because we have an enemy who's prowling around the earth, constantly seeking whom he may devour. All scripture. That's what he does. So if we can identify the plays of his playbook, then we could say, ha, when my wife says to me, no matter what you do or say, I want you to know, I'm not coming back. That's what my wife said to me. And this is about a year and a half ago or so, about a year ago. And I was ready, because I did my homework on this. I was ready for this. When she said that, I smiled. And I said goodbye and gave her a nice smile and left. I went back inside my house because she was in my driveway. I went back inside my house, and I started praising the Lord and laughing. And I did that because I was prepared, knowing that when those words come out of her mouth, it's not her, it's our enemy. And if I could identify the enemy through the words coming out of my wife's mouth, I know who the real enemy is, and I can target my anger and my frustration and my prayers toward him. And that's where we take the battle. So that gives us a lot of peace and comfort, knowing it's not our spouse. It's really the enemy speaking through them. Because a lot of times we think it's our wife is the enemy or our husband is the enemy, and they're not. Okay, so let me move to a different section of this. These are lies that Satan tells us, the standers. Tell me, let me know if you've heard anything, any of these, or anything different. You guys can chime in a minute when I'm done. Here's a lie to us in our minds from the enemy. No, Chris, your marriage is over. It's dead. There is no way your wife is coming back to you. Your marriage is dead. Your family is destroyed. It's over. There's no way that this can ever be fixed. My marriage seems to be too far gone or impossible to be fixed, even by God. Or I just don't see or understand how God could do this and fix it. Here's another one. Look how happy she is, or look how happy he is. And sometimes if your spouse may be having an affair or being involved with somebody else, the thought in our mind would be, look how happy they are with this other person. Why would they ever want to come back to you? Why would they ever want to come back to your marriage? Why would they ever want to come back to your home and your family? Why? Look how happy they are. Or how about this? For those of you who have received that piece of paper from the court, look, you got that piece of paper. It's over now. It's final. There's no way you could recover from this. How about this? Even the people in your own church say it's over. They've remarried and they've gone off with someone else and they remarried. Everyone in the church thinks you're nuts and you're crazy. Even they think there's no hope and it's all dead. There's no hope and there's no way that they're coming back from that. They're remarried. Okay, those are all lies. Now, there's lies we hear from our spouses and there's lies we hear in our own thoughts and ideas. Let me tell you, and I guarantee you 100%, those thoughts and ideas are not yours. We have an enemy who tries to deceive us in our mind by putting those thoughts and ideas in our mind, trying to get us to believe the lies. Because if he can get us to believe the lies, then what happens? Our actions and our words then follow what we believe. So if we believe the lies, we start acting on them. And that's where we lose the battle. Okay. And before I go on to the next section, does anyone have anything they want to add to any lies that they've heard from their spouses or that they've had thoughts and ideas that were lies from our enemy, trying to discourage them from their stand for their marriage?
I'll be left to add. Does someone else want to say something?
It's Silvana.
Okay. I wanted to add that one's like I've heard he's never going to repent. He doesn't even see what he's done wrong. He thinks it's all me. A lot of stuff where they're blaming me. I feel like that's, you know, coming from the enemy.
Yep. I think it's universal with almost all of us that the spouse who's left points their fingers and blames it on us who are standing. I think it's universal. I don't know if I've ever come across, it might be a real small percentage of situations where the spouse who's leaving and wanting to divorce does not blame the standing spouse. The majority I've observed, they're always blaming the one left behind. It's your fault. Everything's your fault. You're controlling. You don't give me space. You know, things of that kind. Okay. Savannah, did you want to say something? Throw it in?
Yes. I have this I've gotten a lot of counsel through the church, and a lot of people have told me God took your husband away because he's protecting you from what could have happened. And that's just very hard for me to hear.
I can tell you did God allow it to happen? I can't speak for everybody else, but I feel sometimes God allows separation and divorce to happen. Yes, because he is protecting the other person. He's protecting you. But that does not mean that God's will is not intended for your husband to come back. A lot of times it's because maybe that spouse has unrepentant sin and he doesn't want to put you in a painful and hurtful situation for you to continue hurting. And the time alone that you spent by yourself with God will strengthen you and will get you through. And I can say this because I have experienced it myself. My divorce went through. I could have easily thrown in the towel and been like, you know what, like I'm done. But I didn't. I'm still standing. And during this time alone by myself here in my apartment, I have grown stronger than I ever have, even before our divorce had gone through and when I was still living at the house standing. So don't get discouraged by what other people tell you. He probably took him away for a season, but that is not saying he's not going to bring him back.
Yeah, I just wanted to say if I could, you know, God is the one that has to allow anything. I mean, but
exactly.
It's for your good. It's for your good. And, you know, a house divided can't stand. We all know that. A kingdom divided. And so he just sometimes has to break you down and break you apart to fix you both and put you back together.
Exactly. Yes.
Is what God has shown me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I want to add something to what you just said.
Oh, no, I'm done. Go ahead.
God told me that, I don't know, I can't remember now, I have to look at my journal and see, but either a couple weeks right before or after my wife moved out, God told me that he's going to allow her to move out, and he's going to work on both of us individually, change what he wants, and then bring us back together again. And this is long before I knew that standing was a thing. This is long before I found RMM or any other resource on standing for your marriage. It was just me and God praying out of desperation, like, God, I know the Bible. I know what you say. You hate divorce. So what's going on? Help me to reconcile what's happening with you know, your word and your scripture. And then that's when I got that. And then, you know, much later, as I find, you know, people's testimonies and stories of standing, then I'm finding out that a lot of stuff that God's been speaking to me, he's been speaking similar things to other people. And, I mean, that for me was just confirmation after confirmation after confirmation, you know. So, yeah, God will allow that because he's making changes. But let me also say this, though. No matter where God allows your journey to go, God's ultimate objective is to bring you back together again. Let me say this again. God's goal and objective is to rebuild your marriage. God will allow it for a season, but it's not over. God hates divorce, and he only needs one person to stand. Only needs one person. There are thousands and thousands. I could post testimonials every single day on the website of restored marriages for the rest of my life, and I will never run out. They're inexhaustible because there are thousands and thousands of restored marriages that I don't even know about, and I have a lot that I could add onto the website, but it takes time. So be encouraged by what I'm telling you, that yours is not one in a million that God's going to do. What yours is one in a million God's already done. Yours is just another drop in a bucket that God's going to do amongst hundreds of thousands he's already restored. So don't think that, you know, well, God can't do mine. I had a conversation with someone earlier this week. You tell me your scenario, and I will tell you a testimonial I've read that matches yours or is worse than yours that God still restored. Okay, getting off topic.
Yes, that even the worst. I was just going to say, yeah, if you look, and I've noticed during mine, I would have when I was in it, I couldn't watch my reactions. I didn't know till I was out of it what I needed to do, what I'd done, what I was doing wrong. Even if you're not really the one in the wrong and they were justified, maybe you were provoked, you can't see. He's really been working on my reactions to people.
Exactly.
And it does work. It's true what his word says, a gentle word turns away wrath. Before, when I'd argue with them, they would get almost smile and be happy. And now I notice they're like, huh, you know, it softens them. We don't argue.
Yeah. This is a journey that God is taking us on, each as individuals. You know, yes, the ultimate goal is restoration of marriage, but while in the season where we're apart and we're, you know, getting closer to God, you know, he wants us to seek him first, to make him first in our lives. And then, you know, once he's ready and in his perfect time, and I know, because I'm going to admit it, I get impatient. You know, patience is not my strong suit, but I would rather wait on him than taking my matters into my own hands and doing it my own way. I want his way. That's it.
Yes, I learned if we would just really come to him as children, like we used to, like really childlike, carefree, like you just love God and want to know everything about him and don't even think about your marriage sometimes, but just pray for everyone. And I think it would be a lot faster if we didn't, if we did that and it was like we were children and just, I saw a lot of movement then. But then when I get discouraged or forget or forget to pray, you know, I don't. So,
yeah.
It's something to think about.
For me, you know, you go to church and you try to tell people you're standing and like God give you word, but it's always like I feel like I'm like battling for people to believe what I'm saying.
You don't need to justify it. Like I've learned, I don't need to justify what I've been called to do to other people because they won't understand.
Right.
They won't understand. They're going to look at me and be like, you're crazy. You're delusional. Like, look, this is the reality. But I'm not of this world. Like, I've been called to do something, and by God, I'm going to be obedient and do it. So I don't explain my stance to people because they won't understand. As long as God knows that I'm doing what he's called me to do, at the end of the day, that's all that matters to me. And I could care less what other people think. So you don't feel like you have to be like you have to explain yourself, and it's kind of like what Lisa said a long time ago, and I'll never forget this. If people ever ask you, just be like, "I'm praying for them, and my heart will always be open for reconciliation." That's all you have to say.
Right.
You don't have to explain your stance to them.
Yeah, because I feel like I get, you know how you feel like you just drained after you like, you know, sometimes you get around people and you're like upbeat, but then when you get finished, you just like. Sometimes that's how I feel. I feel like, oh my God, like I just went around, like no matter what I said, okay, well this is what it like. And then I'm like thinking in my head, okay, so you can hear from God, but I can't hear from God. That doesn't make sense. I'm telling you what I know, and I'm telling you what's in my heart, and it kind of made me like pull away from going to church, because it's like you just get tired of like. People asking you something and you keep saying the same thing.
Well, I want to throw this into the mix as well, is that we're going to encounter people who are going to think that we're crazy, and that's fine because when we do things for the Lord, it's going to seem countercultural. But the other thing is that I was just reminded of Charlene's story. Charlene would walk around with a Bible, you know, her physical Bible is before iPhones and everything else. And she would quote scripture to anyone who, when the issue came up of her marriage and her standing for the marriage. And if we remember, there's a verse in the Bible where God tells us that we should be ready at any time to give a reason for the hope that is within us. So if we have that hope within us, that God will restore our marriage, then maybe, and let the Holy Spirit guide you, but maybe when someone approaches us in or out of the church, doesn't matter, maybe that's an opportunity for us to minister to them. Like, look, you know what? This and this happened in my marriage. My husband and my wife did this and that, whatever the case might be, but I'm praying about it and I'm trusting in the Lord to restore my marriage. And as soon as they would look at you sideways like, you're nuts, they say, well, can I tell you what's the source of my hope? And that would be a great opportunity to tell them, I'm standing for my marriage because this is what God says. God says he hates divorce, and you could go into Scripture and quote the Scripture that you've memorized. Because we never know. Charlene's story is very interesting because she said oftentimes that by doing that, she would minister to other people, people she had no idea she was actually ministering to them where they were having their own issues in their own marriage. And that's
it. Yeah, I'll tell you. I was just going to say, if you use the line of Jesus, I've gotten a lot more, I guess I don't have fear anymore. And if you use the line he used, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He will, to people. I had a girl look at me and just throw mayonnaise in a store. It was actually an attack. I mean, I get things like this all the time that are just so bizarre. And, I mean, she just looked over and threw a thing of mayonnaise at me and my children in the store and was saying crazy things. And you know, we didn't even know her or anything, and I just said that. It just came out. And after that, I started doing that, and I'm telling you, you will see it in life. You will see it not just in the spiritual, but, you know, it really is a battle. Mm-hmm. And when I said those words, and I say them to anyone now, and I don't feel fearful or like I'm going to be called crazy, I mean, they just look at you. I mean, I've had to say it to a police officer. They look at you and shut up and then say, okay, well, have a good day. I mean, really, it really is a battle, and we have to really be on guard all the time and fight. So I just wanted to add that because you'll see it if, you know, you come across someone who's attacking you or anything like that. That's all you have to say, and bless them and don't fight back.
And here's how we overcome. Revelation 12:11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So I'm going to unpack this just a little bit and then move on to a couple of other points because I think you guys are going to enjoy this. And by the way, for those who are listening, if you don't have a chance to write everything down and take notes, I think this will be a conference call that we will be able to post. And then you'll be able to listen to it later. But we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, Revelation 12:11. Two parts to this, by the blood of the Lamb and also the word. If you go to Ephesians 6, we are given the tools of our warfare, which is spiritual warfare. We talked about that earlier in this conference call, where if we know it's our enemy speaking through our spouse, we can identify him, then we know who our target is, who the real enemy is. And now what do? We are unconditionally loving towards our spouse, but we fight on our knees in prayer with the spiritual armor of Ephesians 6, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. That's our sword. When we speak that out loud in our prayers, we're fighting a spiritual warfare. And then we take up the shield of faith, and then we then wrap our feet with the gospel of peace, that we approach everybody at all times with the gospel of peace and peace in our hearts. And I like to pray that specifically over my wife, that she has peace toward me in our marriage and restoration of my marriage. So I kind of throw that in as well. But that's our spiritual armor. Those are the weapons of our warfare on our knees. And faith is the other most critical key, is we overcome by faith. Now, there's two parts to this I want to talk about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more we read the Bible, Charlene's testimonials or daily devotionals are fantastic. The podcast that she puts out, they're fantastic. The one from yesterday was awesome. But testimonials help build our faith too. The Bible will give us God's general plan and tell us what God wants to do. And by reading, I love the Old Testament because the Old Testament tells us stories. Stories in the physical where so many have overcome. David and the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the furnace. Noah, his family, building the ark, 100 years to build it. People made fun of him. You know, people might look at you crazy like you're standing for your marriage. What? Well, what do you think about Noah? I mean, building the ark, 100 years with his family. But the promise came. The promise came, and he and his family were saved. Moses, freeing the Israelites. I could go on. Old Testament, great stories. When we read those stories, it builds faith in us. There's no substitute, however, for being in your private space or place, the secret place, with God, you and God alone, and the Bible, and in prayer, on your knees. There's no substitute for that. I heard at the very beginning of my stand 2 years ago that during this season in your life, God's calling you to a personal, one-on-one, intimate relationship. Sophia just mentioned a little bit about that just a few minutes ago. Those of us who have been standing for a little bit longer, same thing. It's my relationship today with the Lord is much different than what it was 2 years ago. That's what God's calling each of us to do. Draw near to me and I'll draw myself to you, God says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these other things shall be added unto you. God's telling us. All the arrows are pointing to you and your personal relationship with God. So reading the Word, spending time with God in private prayer builds our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But the other thing is this, is that we sometimes tend to kind of overlook, but it's also testimonials. If you guys saw the post that I've been putting up over on praisereports.org, they're filled with testimonials. That's the only purpose of that site, is to post testimonials. Right now it's just marriage, but in the future we're hoping to expand. It's just that, but testimonials. Okay, so God revealed this to me just this week, and I'm sharing this with you. I don't know how to share this on the prayer wall. It's too long. But I'm sharing this with you guys because I want you guys to benefit from this. This is going to be amazing. I fell out of my chair when I heard this. I was listening to a sermon on Sunday or Monday, and in a sermon, I heard there was a Jewish guy who came up to the preacher and said, "Do you know what the root meaning of the word testimony is in Hebrew?" The answer to that is the root word, a root meaning of the word testimony is do it again. Do it again. Let me unpack that. When you're hearing someone's testimony about their marriage being restored, their testimony, just by hearing it, their testimony becomes a prophetic word to you and your marriage and your circumstance. And the more testimonies you hear, the more prophecy you're inviting over yourself and your marriage. It's coming over you. That, you could do a whole study on that in the Old Testament. God talks about testimonials. When they crossed the Jordan, Elisha divided the waters, and they crossed over. And then they said, now go back and set up the stones for the 12 tribes, and then you can tell the children. So then they will remember what God has done here. Testimonials. When the flood waters receded and Noah and his family got out, he built an altar. And there, everyone remembers from that point forward what God had done. Not that he destroyed the world. It was a testimony to the saving grace. Testimonials. Do it again. Do it again. So it becomes prophetic. I can personally testify to this, that when I started standing for my marriage, before I even knew that standing was a thing, I started coming across testimonials. And I found testimonials on the internet before I found RMM. And as I found those testimonials in random places, I could feel faith welling up inside of me and growing exponentially. And even now I go back and revisit testimonials, but not as often. It is not, I've climbed, at the beginning it becomes a crutch because you're trying to get your footing. But as you get your footing and you stand up and you take a step up in maturity in your walk and your journey with the Lord, I don't want to say maturity because only God can determine that. So I don't want to, sorry, I want to take that back. My journey, moving forward in my journey, let me put it that way. As I move forward in my journey, I'll look back every once in a while and I'll refresh myself with a testimonial here and there. I have a few favorites that resonate with me and my situation. But testimonials are so powerful because if you listen to testimonials or read them every single day, you are guaranteed that and the Word of God and praying the word, God's Word in your prayers and being in that secret place with the Lord, those three things will build your faith. And let me tell you what God says about faith. Hebrews 11 is one of my favorite for faith. It's my favorite chapter because I go in there and it's a summary of all, it's the hall of faith where all the great men and women of faith throughout the Old Testament are listed there. Just go read that. If you take some time, when you have time, go read the chapter of Hebrews 11. Read that and then make note of the people that are referenced there. And then go back and look up their story in the Old Testament. And then read their story. Read their story from beginning to end of how God took them, grew their faith, and then they did incredible things for God. That will help build your faith as well. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by their testimony, by faith. Here's another verse. Okay, 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born, this is 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever God gives us is used to overcome the world. Faith comes from God. It is used to overcome this storm in our lives, the world, which is divorce, separation, adultery, remarriage, if that's the issue. Overcome whatever it is we're encountering in our stand for our marriage. The second part of this verse is, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So our faith is the victory that has overcome the world, but that faith is born of God. It comes from God. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. Okay, so I hope you guys. I hope I'm doing a good job in connecting the dots for you guys. Because as I'm connecting the dots, hopefully you'll see the picture and you'll see from a bird's eye view the bigger picture of this and how this is a battle. But once you understand how the battle, who's playing, what are the tools, how do we fight, how do we stand, and how do we win? And when you see that, it's like a football game. You go to a football game, you know the rules, you know it's going to be played, you just want to see who the winner is. Well, we already know who the winner is, but we just have to sit back now, stand in faith after, even if, now I don't know where this is in the New Testament, I don't know if it's in Ephesians or somewhere else, but after having done all of this, putting on the armor, then stand, I think it's in Ephesians 6, after having done all of this and putting on the armor, stand. We stand because the only warfare, the only fight is in our mind. For which thought and idea are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what God says? Or are we going to believe what Satan says? Does Satan his enemy, the world, our flesh sometimes? What thoughts and ideas do we choose? Because it's a conscious choice. It's a conscious, deliberate choice. Every single morning we have to get up and make that choice. Do we believe God or do we believe our enemy? And I use that word enemy. I don't want to even want to mention his name and give him credit for that. Do we believe God or our enemy? And when we choose to believe God, then we'll let God's word come out of our mouth. Let God's truth come out of our mouth. Let by our mouths we speak life or death to our spouses, to our marriage, to our family, to the restoration of our marriage, to our health. our finances, or whatever situation we might be facing, because we're all facing a variety of issues in our marriage, or in our marriage crisis. Not all of them are necessarily the same. Some financials, other health, et cetera. What we believe in our hearts then in the morning comes out of our mouth. And so let everything that comes out of our mouth be a blessing towards our spouses and our marriage, towards restoration. And let it be pleasing to God. There's another verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Lord, so that's another verse there. It's just, I don't know where it is. You guys can look it up later. So faith. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things. Okay, so here's what faith does. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray and you believe that you've received them, it will be done for you. So here we have promises from God in Jesus Christ of our marriage restoration. Some of us, if we received a Rhema word, even better. But it doesn't mean if you haven't received the Rhema word that you're disqualified from, you know, your marriage being healed. And I know we're running short on time, so I'm going to try to zip through some of the rest of this here. Rhema words, look it up if you're not sure what those are. That's when you're reading the Bible and certain verses just like jump out at you, and all of a sudden your heart does a little bit of a skip and a hop, and it's like, that's for me. That's a Rhema word, God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. You're driving down the road, you hear something on the radio, whether it's in a sermon or a song, and something just jumps out at you, and it specifically speaks towards you, your situation, your stand, your marriage, the restoration of your marriage. That's a Rhema word. All Rhema words always will be consistent and supportive of God's word in the Bible. It will never be contradictory. If it contradicts, it's not from God. Okay, now, let me also say this. So you have God's word in the Bible and or a Rhema word. And I'm going to say this with as much love and compassion as I possibly can. And I hope everyone's listening to this. Every single one of us, guaranteed, will be challenged by Satan on this. And we will be challenged at every turn, every possibility. And we're going to be challenged. And God's going to allow the challenges. God's allowing to prove our faith, not to test it, to prove our faith. See, because God knows each one of us, like Gideon. When God came to Gideon, Gideon was hiding out in the wine press. He was hiding out because all the people were being attacked and his people were being destroyed. God came to Gideon and said, "What are you doing, my mighty warrior?" He was hiding out. But that just seems a contradiction, because God saw him as who God intended Gideon to be. God did not see him hiding out for his life in fear. God saw him as the mighty warrior he created him to be, and he comes to him and says, mighty warrior, calls him my mighty warrior. So every one of us, even those who are not even on the conference call standing, every one of us, we're mighty warriors. That's the way God sees us, because if you're here, you're standing, God put that in your heart. If God put that in your heart, he's given you everything you need. You just need to come into full knowledge of everything that God has given you to successfully stand for your marriage, because on the other side, God has restoration waiting for you. Your job is to not quit, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me stay with this real quick. Satan's going to come against you. He's going to try to create doubt in your mind. In all of our minds. Did you really hear God? Did God really speak to you? Maybe you misunderstood. And Satan's going to try to move all circumstances possible against you, against your Rhema word, against your promises that you've received, against the verses from the Bible that you are praying. He's going to move against all of those. And here's some of the strategies he's going to use. The number one he's going to use, the number one I've discovered, is the what if quotes. What if this? What if that? What if this? Take the what if and put a blank behind it and fill in the blank with your whatever you get. What if blank? God never comes to you and says, what if this? God never says that. See, because God says, I will restore your marriage. I hate divorce. I've joined the two of you together as husband and wife. I've made you one flesh. Let no one separate. And by the way, if you receive that piece of paper from the court, that is man's attempt to separate you. It is a lie and a fiction from the pit of hell. It's there, but it has no bearing upon your faith or no bearing upon the promises that God has given us in the Bible and spiritual and personal revelation. No bearing whatsoever. Satan's lies do not alter God's word and God's promises at all. Who can stand against God's will? No one. Verse from the Bible. God's word goes out and accomplishes all it sets out to accomplish, and it does not return void. Period. God's word. Do you notice how when God speaks, everything is in the definitive? It's not a maybe. It's not a what if. God's word is absolute. I will do this. I will do that. It's already done. It's finished. He speaks in absolutes, foregone conclusions. Satan, when he comes, he's always going to do what if. So all the questions in your mind that are what if this, what if that, Satan, write them down. Find a Bible verse to counteract it. Pray it. I guarantee it will go away. That's what I did. I had the list from a year and a half ago. I wrote down all my what-ifs. I went to the Bible, searched it, found a verse to counter every single what-if, and I started praying and believing that every single time that what-if came up, boom, I would pound it with God's word. Gone. Tell me that doesn't increase your faith. So, did God really speak to you? What if it's all in my imagination that he spoke to me? What if God doesn't do it for me? He did it for that person. He did it for this person. He's doing it for all these people. What about me? Maybe God won't do it for me. Maybe I'm the one who he won't do it for. No, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. He will absolutely do it for you. God's looking for one person to stand in the gap. What he doesn't want is for you to quit. A double-minded person should expect nothing from him. And there's other scriptures too. I don't want to harp on those, but those who turn away from me, he becomes displeased with those who turn away and quit. He's given you everything. He's given you the RMM ministry. He's given you us as of all these conference calls, all these testimonials. He's given you everything. Walk in that. Walk in that faith. Walk in those, in all the tools that he's given us. Okay, so, man, I have more. Can I go another 5 minutes, guys? Is everyone okay, or is it too late? You want to stop
yes,
it here? Because I've got like another five more minutes. Okay.
Keep
okay.
going.
No, go.
Okay.
Go, keep going.
All right. Let me gather my thoughts real second, real quick. Okay. The last one, is it really, if you've received a piece of paper, if you've received that piece of paper from the court, if your spouse is moved out, they've remarried, maybe there's another child involved, it doesn't matter. None of that. Here's what all of that's going to speak to you. Here's what Satan's going to do. He's going to get you to look at that thing. That piece of paper, the remarriage, maybe the child from that adulterous relationship, and Satan's going to come to you and say, it's really over. Can't you see? It's finally over. There's no way that God can fix this now. Look, they've remarried, and they seem happy. That's a lie. Not from God, that's from the pit of hell. Look, they have a baby with the other person or whatever it is. Guys, I'm on the prayer wall. I read some of the posts that are on there. You know, he's spending all the money on the other person, on the other woman. And, you know, me and my kids are at home, and God can deal with that. God goes before us, prepares the way. He knows all our needs before we even tell him. Okay. That's the last one in that portion of it. But let me give you a couple of bullet points here real quick. I'm going to kind of zip through this real quick. You guys can get this and listen to it again. Once it's posted on the website, listen to it again. What God never wants you to do is quit. Because if you quit, then you've quit. but God's never going to quit. God will never quit on your spouse, and God will never quit on your marriage, but he does want one of you to stand for your marriage, because like the, he works in us and through us. That's his method. That's his preferred way of doing it. Not that it's impossible for God. There are testimonies. Let me footnote this. There are testimonials I've read about and heard where both have walked away. Both husband and wife have walked away from the marriage. And God, in his goodness and his grace, called both of them back to their marriage when no one was standing. But that's not God's preferred way. Can God do that? Yes. Don't go down that path because you're playing with fire and you're throwing the dice. You don't know. Don't tempt the Lord your God. That's a verse. Don't tempt the Lord your God. You know what God wants you to do? Be obedient, because God will honor that. God will honor your obedience and your faith and your standing and your walking. Okay, so here we go. Last section here, and I'm going to zip through this. Our enemy, he is the big deceiver. He's going to target your mind with lies. Repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. Once you overcome one lie, he's going to find another lie to attack you. He's going to keep doing it until you've shored up the your mind with praise and praise and worship and testimonials and the word of God, and give no room in your mind for his lies. He's the deceiver. The second one is he's going to try to destroy you, your spouse, your marriage, and your family. He's also going to try to destroy your body, your health, your peace of mind, your sanity, and cause suffering mentally, physically, in whatever way possible. Be on guard for these things. The third one, he's going to try to rule your mind and rule your will. If he could get you to believe his lies, then he's deceived you, and he's going to try to do to you what he has already done to all of our spouses. He's going to try to wait for the devotional today was about this free will. He's going to try to do to you, to me, what he did to our spouses. He's going to try to hijack your free will. I'll tell you right now, I am 100% confident that every single one of our spouses who are doing what they're doing, they're not practicing and exercising their own free will. They're practicing and exercising Satan's will imposed upon them because they've bought into the lies. So free will has gone out the window once any of us given to the lies of our enemy, and then we start walking in that lie, because now we're being led down that path. So he's going to try to rule us by hijacking our will, first through lies and deception, okay, in our mind. So we need to be aware of that. And then the last one is this, and some of us have encountered this, some of us very strongly. The last one is this. He is the accuser. He's going to come, and he's going to try to accuse us in our minds by making us feel worthless, not worthy. He's going to try to tell us that we're not good enough for our spouse to come back to us. Well, and here's one way he's going to do that. Look at the other person husband or wife is. Well, look at the other person that our spouse is involved with. Oh, they have more money, they're smarter, they're better looking, they're younger, they have a better career, whatever it might be. Look at the other person that our spouse is involved with. Look how much better they are than me. Why would my husband or wife want to come back to me? Obviously, they seem happy with that person, and that person seems better for them. That is another lie from the pit of hell. Take it, write it down, and pray against it. It is a lie. Do not give into it. Do not buy into it, because he's going to try to accuse us. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're a loser. If you've been a housewife and now you're trying to get back into the world and make a living and take care of finances and whatever, you've given up your career. You're a loser. You don't have no career. You have nothing to offer your husband or your wife. Look at you. You're nothing. Look at you. You put on weight. You don't look what you like what you used to. Whatever it is an accusation against your mind and against your heart. And if and that leads to depression, that leads to that cripples us. That cripples us. If it cripples us, then we can no longer walk out the faith that God told us, I'm going to restore your marriage. Now get up and walk. Stand in your faith, stand for your marriage, and now walk out the things I tell you to do. But if we become immobilized and impaired by the crippling accusations from our enemy, then we're out of the game. We're not praying for our spouses. We're not praying for restoration. We're not speaking life towards our marriage and our spouses. All of these things come, all of these weapons that we're given come tumbling down. And we become sidelined. We're no longer in the game. We're on the sidelines now, and we're wrapping our wounds, and we're licking them, and we're asking for, you know, the million people and on the prayer wall to come pray for us. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not our go-to place. That's great when we need uplifting, but on a day-to-day basis, we need to be on our knees before God. God's going to give you peace and comfort. That's what the Holy Spirit is. God's going to give you everything you need. Do you need peace? He'll give it to you. Comfort? He'll give you that. Build up your confidence, strength, courage, boldness. He'll give you that. What do you need? What do you need for this stand? Because God's got it ready for you in the Bible and in your secret place with God on your knees. He's waiting to give it to you. Standing by. The Holy Spirit's there. Jesus making intercession for us day and night, nonstop. Okay, so I'm done. But that's it. Brothers, sisters in Christ, we're not alone in this. We have a whole host of heaven on our side, standing by, ready to do war, but they're waiting for us. They're waiting for us. Imagine that. We have tons of angels ready to battle fiercely on our behalf for our marriage, for our spouses, for our children, for our families, for the future of our kids and their marriages and their calling from God on their lives. We have a whole host of heaven standing by, ready, waiting for our prayers to God in our stand and our walk in faith. Our victory is guaranteed. Are we gonna give it away, or are we gonna stand? It really is up to us. God's not gonna force Himself on us, but He's given us everything we need. Okay, I'm done.
Amen.
Correct. Yes. Anybody have any questions or just anything that they'd like to ask, or even just praise report or prayer in general?
I want to remind everyone, based on Chris, that was amazing. That was awesome. And we talked about Satan's playbook. He really did an excellent job of giving us Satan's playbook. In the last couple of calls, it's just been pressed upon my heart to continue to remind us to Proverbs 18 that we speak life, and that when the enemy is putting these thoughts in our mind, because that's what it is, it's a mind game, and they're using the spouse to do that, that we have to speak out loud and stand in agreement with God's word. Do not, I caution you, do not stand in agreement with the enemy and repeat what your spouse is saying to you, or even what's coming to your own mind. Do not do that. Don't tell your friends or even the person that's standing with you. We cannot afford to be speaking and standing in agreement with the enemy. Stand in agreement with the Word of God. If you don't know a scripture, if you're too new and you don't know a scripture, text one of us. Put it on the prayer wall. We'll be happy. Chris will be happy to give you a scripture. You know, there's plenty of word out there that even says, things like, I would for you to remain unmarried or be reconciled. I'm like, well, Father, I've been unmarried long enough. I'm ready to be reconciled. So I'm standing in agreement with your word today. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I encourage you to find that word, whatever it is, and hold on to that, so when you are being attacked, you can speak the word of God out loud and stand in agreement with the word the worst thing we can do for our own self is to post it on RMM share wall that my spouse just said such and such, and they're so mean, and they're so this, and they're so that. That's not helping anybody. It's not helping you. You're speaking death over your spouse and over your covenant. I was encouraged to watch the movie The Heart of Man, and I just want to share this testimony with you all tonight. As I sat down to watch this movie Saturday night, I asked the Father, I said, show me what you want me to get from this movie. And as I started watching it and got into the movie a little bit, I began to weep because what I saw was my husband in torment, tormented day and night by the enemy. He gets a reprieve every so often, and that's what we see. We see the smile, and we see where they look happy. Mm-hmm. But in his quiet moment, he is being tormented with guilt and shame, and I saw a soul that needed Christ. And in the movie, mm-hmm. as I kept watching it, I saw this is what my takeaway was. The more I pray, the more I'm giving God and the angels, the warring angels, that armor that they need to break through and set my husband free. So
exactly.
I thank God for the word that came forth on tonight, and I just ask that you remember that. Let us speak life, stand in agreement with God's word, and seek Christ for the salvation of that spouse's soul, because that's what we're standing for. We're standing for them to be delivered and them to be set free. So if I've said before, I can't do this anymore, I can't stand any longer, I don't want to do it, and what I'm saying at that time is, God, take him, you have him, do whatever you want, but I'm going to continue to pray for him. I just don't want to feel that loneliness. I don't want to feel that rejection. So I started saying, Father, I break the spirit of loneliness. I break the spirit of rejection in Jesus' name. I had a lady that said to me, Lisa, you pray and ask God to break the spirit of hindrance. So that's all I wanted to share tonight, and take that for hopefully it'll bless you and you'll do the same. If you've watched the movie before, I encourage you to watch it again. And if you've never watched it, please take some
watch
time and do that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say real quick that, Chris, you really spoke to me. What you said was amazing, and it really was spoke to me about the whole homemaker and things like that in career. I've been attacked by other people and been really attacked by that, and was actually thinking about that a lot lately and when on this call. And then you just said that out of nowhere, and so thank you. And God does speak to us through all this and the sight and through people, so pay attention to that. And
amen.
Now I can pray against it. Definitely the enemy.
I have a quick praise report. Just to make a long story short, this is Shaw. I had lost completely everything, and it's been 15 months of standing, and we're going through the divorce process now, and all of a sudden, with no contact, he's starting to call. He is in torment right now. I can tell he's lost a lot of weight. Now he's starting to just be more receptive to me, even at court. When we were just there the other day, we didn't even go into the courtroom. We were outside in the hallway the whole time talking. He was being really mean, but once we left outside, out of nowhere, he said, I want a hug. I haven't had a hug since last year. He gave me a kiss on the head. He said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I said, I love you too, babe. I'll talk to you later. And he said, oh, and thanks for praying for me, because he knows, and God is moving. And just like he's moving with me, he's going to move with all of you guys too. I know my restoration is coming.
Amen.
Restoration from so many people, it's going to happen,
yep.
But not just for me, for all of you guys. Trust me, my situation
Amen.
Was impossible.
Amen.
Impossible.
Amen.
But not with God.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen.
And I stand in full agreement with that for all of us.
I do too.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. May I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Can you hear me? Okay, sorry,
yeah.
This is Kelly. I was just wondering if the prayer that Sophia read at the beginning of the call, if we could have access to that by chance. It sounded like it might have been written down. I found it really powerful, and I would love to be able to read it.
Yes, I actually, and I have a little testimony about this, and I shared this with Lisa and Chris. I don't know where this prayer book came from. I was looking through my desk drawer, and I had seen it when I was moving out of my home into my apartment, and then but I just don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from, but I would be more than happy to share it with you. If you can, I don't know if you know how to search me on RMM, but you can email me directly, and I can
okay,
I can send you the
the prayer.
Sophia, you know what? I could just post it. I could post it on the website now with the prayer calls, conference calls. I could post it over there. I'll create a section or something. If you could just take a better picture or send me a picture of that, and I'll post it and everyone can read it.
Okay, and then the one I'm going to close out with is I'll be praying for strongholds on our prodigals and if other people are involved in their life as well, so to release them of those strongholds.
Any other comments or questions or anything, feedback?
Yes, I have a question about the binding and loosing.
Okay.
I had always thought that you're supposed to bind up the demonic or evil spirits and cast them out rather than loose them from someone. So it's probably more than we can discuss right now. Maybe you guys can do that as a topic for next week, binding and loosing and how you're supposed to do that and what to say.
I can give you a real quick in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, it says, it's loose the bands of wickedness. And so what we're supposed to do is to, if you think about it, that the enemy has chains, if I'm saying it correctly, my country is coming out, has chains or ropes tied around you. Picture someone in jail, in prison, with the handcuffs around them. They're bound to that, to whatever that is. And so what we do is we pray that we will be loosed from that thing that is keeping us held down. You loose the bands of wickedness. That's what the word says in Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And then when you loose yourself from something, so if you loose yourself from adultery, then you want to bind yourself to the will of God or bind yourself to the covenants of God. So you don't want to just be out there and not bound to the word and the word and the spirit of God. So that's how that works. And we can certainly delve into that more because I'm sure the others have questions as well.
Okay. Really quick, can you loose the things of heaven? I've heard it done that way too. And bind up the things of the enemy, like bind the enemy and then loose the things of heaven.
Yeah, where two or more agree on anything on earth, it shall be done in heaven. So when you're so that scripture refers to it being done in heaven, I think kind of goes to what you're saying, is that yeah, it's either loose or bound in heaven.
Okay.
Is there another site you're going to post this on, or were you going to post it on Rejoice America?
PraiseReports.org.
PraiseReports.org. Okay, thank you.
Okay, do you want me to close out in prayer, Chris? If anybody else, I don't know if anybody else has any questions or
yeah, any other comments. Questions, comments? Okay. Sophia, you've got it.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray for our prodigals and the other people in their lives. We ask that you forgive them of all of their sins, iniquities, trespasses, and transgressions. And we ask you to cover their sins, iniquities, trespasses, and transgressions with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and cleanse them of all unrighteousness according to John 14:14. Heavenly Father, by the power of Jesus Christ, we bind our prodigals and other persons' body, soul, and spirit to the will and purpose of God for their lives. We bind our prodigals and the other person's mind, will, and emotions to the will of God. We bind them to the truth and to the blood of Jesus. We bind their minds to the mind of Christ, that the very thoughts, feelings, and purposes of Christ Jesus' heart would be within their thoughts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind their feet to the paths of righteousness, that their steps would be steady and sure. We bind them to the work of the cross with all of its mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, and dying to self. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we loose every old wrong,
ungodly pattern of thinking, attitude, idea, desire, belief, motivation, habit, and behavior from them. We tear down, crush, smash, and destroy every stronghold associated with these things. We loose any stronghold in their life that has been justifying and protecting hard feelings against anyone. We loose strongholds of unforgiveness, fear, and distrust from them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we loose the power and effects of deception and the lies from them. We loose the confusion and blindness of the enemy from their minds that has kept them from seeing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We call forth every precious word of scripture that has ever entered into their minds and hearts, that it would rise up in power within them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we loose the power and effects of any harsh or harsh words, any word curses spoken to, about, or by them. We loose all generational bondages and associated strongholds from them. We loose all effects and bondages from them that they may have been caused by mistakes we have made. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we crush, smash, and destroy generational bondages of any kind from mistakes made at any point between generations. We destroy them right here, right now. They will not bind and curse any more members of our family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the strong man that we may spoil his house, taking back every bit of joy, peace, blessing, freedom, and every material and spiritual possession that has been stolen from us. We take them back right now. We loose the strong man's influence over every part of our body, soul, and spirit. We loose, crush, and smash and destroy every evil device the enemy may be trying to bring into their sphere of influence during this day. We bind and loose these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. He has given us the keys and the authority to do so. We ask in the name of Jesus, amen.
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 All right, good night, guys.
One more thing real quick before everybody goes. When we post, there's going to be a link on the conference call page of the website. It's one page for the conference calls. But if you look, it's going to say conference call archives. If you follow that link, it'll take you to the page where it'll have the conference calls. And this one I might post tonight. So then you can listen to it again, you know, tonight if you want. But the link will be on that same page, the conference call page. Okay, and I'll post it on the prayer wall as well, so you know. God bless you, everyone. Have a great night. We'll see you on the prayer wall.
Thank you.
God bless you guys.
Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.